Recording today is January 26, 2005. We are here at the James Lee Community Center, and we have several of our seniors from the Falls Church area, who currently live in the Falls Church area. And what we're going to do is start off and let each one of them tell us who they are, where they were born, and then we'll go on from there with the questions. And we'll start on this end and go around this
way. Oh, this way?
Yes, sir.
My name is Jesse Deskins, Jr. I was born here in Falls Church, Virginia, in 1935. What else?
We'll move to the next one, then we'll come back and ask you.
My name is Gene Hudson, born in Washington, D.C. in 1932.
I'm Georgia Phillips. I was born in West Falls Church, Virginia in 1936.
My name is Tommy L. Bradley, Sr., born in Alexandria, Virginia, January 14, 1949.
My name is Exie Henderson, maiden name Thomas. I was born in Falls Church, Virginia in 1929.
My name is George A. Bird. I was born in Washington, D.C. 1960.
My name is Ron L. Bird. I was born in Washington, D.C. 1931.
My name is Mary Barnett White. I was born in Washington, D.C. at Freedman's Hospital in 1936.
My name is Vivian Sutton, Deskins Sutton, and I was born in Washington, D.C. at Freedman's Hospital. And I was born in 1934.
My name is Donald Byrd, Sr. I was born in 1933 in Falls Church, Virginia, by Ann Beck Turner, midwife. So where my brother got born, that I don't know. But I know where I was born.
I don't even remember being here.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, that's all my birth certificate. Ann Beck Turner, midwife.
Miss White, I'm going to ask you, will you say your information again? But yes, lean forward like that because I couldn't see.
My name is Mary. Okay. My name is Mary Elizabeth Barnett White. I was born at Freedman's Hospital in Washington, D.C. in 1936.
Why don't we start with Mr. Byrd and go around this time and tell us something about your parents, who your parents were. Where they were born, your sisters, brothers, anything that you remember about just growing up in the area that you grew up in Falls Church?
Oh, my mother was born right here in Falls Church, named Minnie Byrd. And growing up here, I remember where the original school was up there and where we had so many kids that they had to take the Odd Fellows Hall up on Carson Drive and turn that into a classroom. And then brought in another teacher, Miss Julia Hall from Chesterbrook. That's where those kids all came to go to school. And we didn't have no school buses. They walked 3 to 4 miles. Only kids that had a school bus during the time was the kids coming out of Chesterbrook, which Georgia Phillips' mother and father, Reverend Phillips, drove the school bus. He went to Manassas. Mrs. Phillips took care of everything down on this end. And during that time, when Full James Lee came into here, the house used to sit out front here on a hill. That was Russell Lee's. And across the street, which Annadale Road was named Shreve Street during the time I come up. And that was a hill right there with a great big two-story frame house set up on the hill. From that two-story frame house all the way to Arlington Boulevard was nursery. That's where we made our hustles on Christmas time, cutting spruce trees, selling them to the black people for Christmas trees. We were cutting shrubbery. you know, white man's good shrub and spruce trees. That was all the way to Alton Boulevard, was nursery.
And did you sell any of those trees to whites, or you sold them strictly to black?
Sold them to black anywhere that we could sell it to get a quarter. You know what I mean? During that time, you could get a custard pie for 25 cents. And a great big Rock Creek soda for 15 cents. So that's all we wanted. And then, well, we used to sleigh ride from that church up there, Second Baptist Church, on that hill. We used to go down that hill on a sleigh ride and go to Cook's store, which was an Amoco station, with had a little candy and stuff in there. We'd buy some and we'd steal some. But nobody ever, old lady Cook's and Mr. Cook's, they couldn't have seen him wait outside it on the cars, too. Then I used to run. That used to be all hill. So then we'd get prepared for the cavalry that's coming out of Fort Myers. Now we stack up our apples, rocks, anything we could stack on that hill, because we know the cavalry's coming tomorrow morning. So we'd be up at, we'd be up on our skirmish line, boy, ready to fire on them. Here come the cavalry down the hill with Avenue.
Donald, you don't talk too much, because you'll tell the history of Falls Church, and you, I won't have anything to say.
Okay,
well, baby. Go ahead and start.
Go ahead, baby.
My parents' name was William and Henry Deskins, and my mother was named Ethel Johnson, and I too was born in Freedman's Hospital in Washington, D.C., because they didn't deliver babies out here, black babies out here, until later in the day, later in the year. And my mother was born in Washington, D.C., and she had a midwife, Ann Beck Turner, and I don't know what to say. Donald have told it all.
No, was
Miss Turner the only midwife in the area that's worked to deliver black babies?
Yeah.
What about your father?
He was born. He came out of Herndon, Virginia, and he moved down to here in Falls Church until at the age of 9 years old. And my grandmother and grandparents had a, they used to say that they moved down here because they would marry each other. And that it was incest and the family, and well, that's all I have to say.
we'll come back to you. I can tell you have a lot more to say. We'll come back to you in a minute with let Ms. White.
I told you my name was Mary Barnett White. My mom name was Marie Virginia Bird, which were sisters to Donald's mother and Bonnie and Donald's mother. We're two sisters' children. My mother was also born in Falls Church and delivered by Ann Beck Turner also. My dad came from North Carolina, Roxborough, North Carolina. And I was born in Freedman's Hospital. But I grew up in Falls Church, because back in those days when black folks had children, well, you would stay in the hospital at least 2 weeks.
So I was born like December 21st, and I think my mom came home during the Christmas time, or after Christmas, because she wanted to come home for Christmas. And I went to Falls Church Color School then, the same school that Donna was telling you about, we all went to. But I then went to the Second Baptist Church in another grade. Then we had some other teachers that came in the area, Ms. Hall, Ms. Ball, and a few others that came during my time. Then Ms. Nellie, they built James Lee, and Ms. Nellie was all our teachers here at James Lee. And then I went to Manassas for 4 years. I was the bus there like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we went 22 miles up and 22 miles back per day. I didn't miss too many days. Only when I got sick, I missed a few days. And then I went to Luther Jackson for 1 year, and I graduated from Luther Jackson.
What about your father? What can you tell me about your father?
I don't know a lot about my dad. All I know is he came from North Carolina. And my dad left home back in when he was 16 years old. My dad's mom was white. And my dad's mom's maiden name was Street. And most of my dad's people are mixed from down there. And I still have a lot of people in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. And Chinese and all. Back during those days, you know, they did what they wanted to do. So my grandma was white. And my dad, I do remember my dad saying that when their mom died, they weren't allowed to go because she was buried in White Cemetery. And that's just the only thing I remember my dad. But my dad had quite a few sisters and brothers, lots of sisters and brothers.
Did you know any of his sisters and brothers?
Yes, I knew. He only had two sisters, and I knew both of my aunts, because the last one just died about 2 years ago in Elton, Maryland. And my dad had about 4 or 5 brothers, and I knew most of them, because they came up gradually every year, you know, they bring another group of them up. And then most of them lived in the Baltimore area. And so,
if you could, excuse, we're going to pause for just a minute. I'm going to go see if I can get this testing turned off. I'll go to the front.
Where's your dog?
Oh,
yeah.
Somebody
you
want it.
You can dial on 2-2-1-0.
Yes, we have some to talk about.
We're going to bring one in here.
No, Mary.
A little thing. She freaks out.
Oh, you got it off?
Can we use the circle?
Come on here, cuss. Get on over here.
You know the name? You don't remember?
No.
What you talking about incest, baby?
Would you mind standing up?
What you talking about incest?
Oh,
yeah.
Because
you know they care.
Papa had to bring down daddy down here so he wouldn't marry his cousin.
Oh, is that right?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Not only that, but
hell, everybody else says, but I don't care somewhere. One way or the other.
You
don't know Norma, Reverend Norman Smith.
You don't know Norma Smith.
What's your post office name?
They call two brothers is two ministers.
Yeah.
The other one that lives up at my parents. She just sold his place.
Oh, yeah, that was
the brother.
That was John Smith. Pastor of the church up there in Great Falls.
And Norman.
Who lives in Great Falls?
I think pastor of the church close
John
to Great
Falls. Oh, you got Rectortown, man.
John
Smith.
He
was a white guy, you know.
Told me this. You said
yeah. He married a
Francis.
Well, he married Charlie's
daughter.
Who? Oh, Charlie's daughter.
Charlie is a fool.
Yeah,
she died, you know.
Yeah, no,
baby, boy. Don't come back to
Charlie Ford's daughter.
Charlie Smith.
Francis Smith.
He got some history here.
See,
Norman
Smith. And daughter, brother, two ministers.
Wow.
17.
One of them is down Hall Street.
Mr. Bird.
Yes, ma'am.
And you want to go to?
We'll let you finish, Ms. White. There was something else we want to say, and then we'll start back up. What we've been doing, we went around and we let everyone introduce themselves and then tell something about their parents. And probably after we do this about the parents, then we're just going to kind of open it and start to talk about Tenor Hill or Tenor Hill and Fault in the Fault Church area. So that's kind of what we'll do, so we can get as much information as possible. But Ms. White, we're
going to
go ahead and turn the camera back.
She'll come back. Okay. I'm finished. You can go ahead to Vonnie. I need something for him, maybe even say.
Well,
can you see Vonnie?
No, I don't have much to say. Only thing I know I can say about my mother that she wore my shoes. I couldn't keep a decent pair of shoes. But every time I thought she'd wear the hell out of my shoes.
We want you to be yourself.
I have to tell about my grandmother's husband. I think he was one of the most fascinating men I ever met, you know. And he was a blacksmith and a very comical man. Had a hell of a sense of humor. And only problem we had with him was the fact that he didn't like to take baths because he didn't like to take his underclothes off, you know. But other than that, he was a good man, you know. He was one of the few blacksmiths in this area because he shod horses for some of the well-to-do white people.
But what was your grandfather's name?
Henry Sims. Yeah. And he shod horses for Dr. P.J. Lee, who was head doctor in Belvedere Hospital, who owned Ravenworth Farm over in Annandale, and he shod for Arthur Godfrey. We all knew who he was. And Miss Isabel Dodge Sloan, who was the owner of the Dodge car. And he was a man that was his own gentleman, you know. And he took no crap from nobody. And he was an avid drinker. He loved liquor, and he drank liquor not to get drunk, because he said he don't ever remember getting drunk. He drank it because he liked it. And they had a liquor store down there, but Miss Emma was a bootlegger. And he would come, I would say to him, I said, Daddy, why don't you go in a liquor store and buy a fifth of liquor, and you'd have more. But he would, every day he would come to Miss Elma's at lunchtime to buy a half a pint of liquor. He'd sit there and drink that. That was his lunch. And then he drank a half a pint for his dinner. And in the morning, before he'd go to work, he'd stop and get a half pint. So that would be $6 that he would spend, and a fifth of liquor only cost $3 and something. But he said, I said, why don't you buy a fifth and you'll have more to drink? He said, no, I'll go up to Miss Elmer because I can sit down and drink, but I can't sit down at the liquor store and drink, see. But that was his daily routine. He did that every day, since I can remember.
Now, was Miss Emma's the only sounds kind of like a juke joint? Was hers?
Well, she was a boot. She wrote the numbers, and she was a bootlegger.
And so she made her own.
She bought them.
She bought it.
Yeah, because next door, no, Philip wasn't in.
He wasn't up at that.
And Joe Parker.
Well, he wasn't there then.
He wasn't there then.
Oh, Joe Parker down here had it.
He had on this end.
Right there on these streets.
Back over in there, those apartments over there. Yeah. And because we were counting the people that had cars in them days. I think X's father had one. Miss Indy had one.
Mr. Ford.
Reverend Costner. Miss Ollie Turner. Miss Floyd Evans, you had one. But the man who had the most cars was Joe Parker, the bootlegger. He had four cars, but with three cars in a truck.
And a Model A.
Yeah. And we used to, as kids, Bibby's brother and myself, and of course a couple of his nephews, he would tell us, oh, y'all want to go for a ride? So we said, yeah, we want to go for a ride. So he put us in the back of the car to go to the Eagle Liquor Store. And Bubby, Bay Boy's brother, had a pickup truck that would go load up the liquor. And he would come back over Change Bridge Road, and we would come around through Roslyn to come up 50. And the police would be there waiting for him. And so Joey said, y'all boys, look at that cop police. So when we would come out from Roslyn, coming up 50 to come to Falls Church, the police would get after Joe, would chase him, and he'd tell us to sit up in the window, look at the police, y'all, look at the police now. So the police wouldn't shoot because he saw us in the back of the car. And so we would in turn come to Falls Church to get out there, and he'd give us all a quarter. And that was big money during that time, you know. And
what could you buy with a quarter?
Anything.
You could buy. We used to get a.
You go up to the bakery, Brad. You go up to the bakery and get a whole bag, a whole shopping bag of leftover donuts for quarter.
And a gingerbread you couldn't eat. That only cost a nickel.
Nickel and a soda pop.
And it was three donuts for a dime at the bakery.
Ice cream cone was 5 cents.
5 cents, yeah. Pint of ice cream was 15 cents. Mm-hmm. Mr. Goodbar was 10 cents. You couldn't eat it all.
BB Bats, 1 cent.
Yes. Mary Jane, 1 cent. And Banjos, what, 3 cents, wasn't it?
And Miss Miller down across from Henry Mays had cookies, triple cookies.
Cookies, but that
big. And hamburgers were 10 cents.
Yes.
What were Banjos? I don't know.
That was
all
a popsicle. I mean, something like a popsicle.
Chocolate. I've been with ice cream, chocolate.
Yes.
I heard it.
You said a quarter. I remember my mother used to give me a quarter every evening. I had to go down to the store to buy bread. And at that time, they had the jumbo loaves of bread. Double loaves. Mm-hmm. And they used to cost 9 cents. I used to get two loaves of bread for a Coca-Cola and a big honey dip donut for that quarter. And I used to love to do that because I had to get that honey dip donut and Coca-Cola and two loaves of bread.
My grandfather used to give me a quarter to go there for lunch. And I would go down to the Mr. Bunny Gibson. I could get two hamburgers, a Pepsi-Cola, and a cupcake for that quarter.
Is there?
Yeah. The hamburger was 10 cents.
How about gasoline? That was cheap back then.
It was 17 cents a gallon.
17 cents a gallon. 9 cents.
Someway.
I do. Up there on Broad Street was 9 cents. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, if it was 9 cents, that how much was it at that? Where's that place over in Washington? You remember? everybody used to go in there.
Mr.
Buy gas.
Get the gas. Yeah, all Mr. your cabs and everything.
Henry Jones. Right across from John Farm there.
Yeah.
A Snappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was Snappy from there.
Mr. Brewer, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your family that you're already...
Well, George.
Yeah.
George is a cousin here. He knows about his father was my mother's uncle.
Wait, is this Mr.
Bird? Yes, three Mr. Bird, yeah.
One, two, three. Three. I thought we had three.
I'm the oldest man in Forest Church.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
congratulations. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your family a little bit more.
My father, he was raised in Falls Church, but my mother came from North Carolina. Franklin, North Carolina, you know anybody?
I know Franklin. I don't know anybody there, but I know where Franklin is.
Yeah, and I was born in D.C. at the time. When I was born, you was born at home, see. But now I don't know who brought me in the world. See, I mean, like, but back then, when I was born, they didn't put you in the hospital. They had a midway. And I went to school in the old school right here where James Lee seminary. I knew a lot of what I mean now. I grew up with a lot of people, but I came along when he's gone. See, but now his mother, and her mother, and his mother, myself, we two brothers, my father and their grandfather, his brother. So that's all I have to say.
What about your father? A little bit more about your father.
Oh, my father?
Yes.
Well, he was a fine man. So I'm going to tell you.
What kind of work did he do?
He used to do landscape. He was a handyman. He worked for a lot of the people in before the church.
Uncle Jim.
Yeah.
This pop said you told me once. He said you don't loan and you don't borrow.
Yeah,
he said it, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said after that.
Yeah. So he didn't borrow and he didn't lend.
Didn't loan.
He didn't lend no money.
And he did.
No, he didn't.
Then he had an uncle who was born in Egypt. Hollyburg.
He said he was. He was shell chump.
Yeah, he was.
World War I.
World War I. He was gas. When he gas?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Yeah, see, and then they came and asked him, just put X's on the paper. He was in the, you know, veteran, get that money.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in no war. Where were you born, Holly?
Egypt. Egypt.
When Uncle Jim died.
I tell you one thing. I was just 2 years old. And he was my uncle. A lady told me, said she rubbed him singing he when she was home.
Is that right?
He could spin. And he could play some baseball.
Oh, yeah. Holly Bird, he was, as Cut Newt say, a dumb, crazy man. Cut Newt said that. They were two sister's children.
Yeah. No, my brother.
Holly
and Newton Papa.
Father was it?
Well, my grandmother's brother.
Yeah, see, and Holly went over and beat Newt's brother.
Beat Newt's brother.
He beat Newt's brother because he said something about his mother. Which was his aunt, you know.
Yeah, but who was Miss Maddie? Who was she?
That was Van Lena's sister.
Oh, I did.
That was Cut Newt's aunt.
Yeah.
That's when old man Zeb Richards used to tell her, come down here a minute and clean your shitty Aunt Maddie.
Yeah. What's his name? He was atheist. He was in Beaverton Lodge.
And then she was. Then old Murray's uncle by Murray, I thought he was nothing but a bones. We thought that old C. Pearson had put some embalming fluid in him. What's his name?
Bill. What name?
Bill Allen?
Bill Allen.
Yeah. Oh, Bill Allen. Oh, yeah.
Why don't we go on to the next person, Miss?
Ex-Max.
Thank you.
Excuse me, my story is not going to be as entertaining as exciting as it is. But as I said, I was born here in Falls Church. My parents were Adele and Samuel Thomas. Most of the people in Falls Church knew my mother as Mom Day and knew my father as Sam Thomas. And my father was a carpenter. He built quite a few houses around here. Two or three of them are still standing. Not that they are, you know, I don't know whether people can live them or not, but they're still standing. My mother worked various jobs around the state. I had several sisters and brothers, and all of us were born here in Falls Church, and all of us attended school here in Falls Church. Except when we went to junior high school, one of my sisters and I went to Washington. Junior high and high school. And one brother, I believe, went to Manassas to high school. And we lived over in this area, which was known as the Bottom. We had the Bottom, the hill was called the
now,
hill.
Do you know how those places got those names? Did you all give them those names?
I think it might, that might have been. Yeah, because that the hill is sort of up and the Bottom is sort of down, so I would assume that's how those names were given to these
what
areas.
About the zoo?
The zoo is because they used to fight.
A lot of activity in the zoo.
They had a lot of activity. Like the bootleggers and the... and they used to have parties and they fight. Would fight every weekend. You could go
and
up
there
and
just... the sex shows that we could look in.
So they used to call it the zoo.
See, and then that was during the time that white folks could have sex with black. See, the door would be open. And then after we see that, we just... on the house. And they run out there, both of them, the black lady and the white man, naked. And she was cussing us out. That see, we were mad because the white man was getting that thing. And we couldn't stand it.
That's yeah. Why I said that my story would not be as exciting as, you know, some of the others. there's not a whole lot I can tell you. Of course, we all went to church here at Falls Church, and... there's not a whole lot to be said.
What about your parents? What did your parents do for a living?
My father was a carpenter. My mother worked various jobs here in Falls Church. She, I believe, might have worked in some homes, but I'm not sure about that. I remember most of her working at the Pentagon at night. But other than that, I don't remember her working that much.
What church did your family attend?
Second Baptist. Yeah, we were always at Second Baptist.
Everybody here at Second Baptist.
No,
almost.
George.
Except you.
George, which church you go? Oh, that's right. You're down.
Yep.
I guess that's the end of my story. And they always say that everybody in Falls Church is related, but that's not so. I'm related to a few, but not that many. Because my mother was originally from Lovettsville, Virginia, and my father was originally from Drainsville, Virginia. But most of their lives were spent here in Falls Church.
And do you know anything about your grandparents, where your grandparents were from on either side?
I did not know my grandparents. One grandparent, I knew my father's stepmother, I think she was, lived down in North Arlington. But other than that, I didn't know my grandparents.
My name is Tommy L. Bradley, Sr. I was born in Alexandria, Virginia. My natural mom was Marlene E. Wilson. My father's name was Tommy. My cousin Vonnell and Donald and the rest of the family members, I grew to know them when I was brought from Alexandria up here in Falls Church in 54. Gradually, I went to James Lee Elementary School here. From there, I went to Luther P. Jackson High School in 1963 till 65 when they integrated Luther Jackson. From 65 to 69, I went to the original old Falls Church High School on Hillwood Avenue, which in turn then became Falls Church High School on Jaguar Trail up on 50. It used to be Whittier before it became Luther Jackson, and everything was kind of conglomerate because when I came along, integration wasn't prevalent like it is today. Most of these family members here are my family members through my grandparents and other family members who have now deceased. My grandparents who raised me, they were Leonard L. Bradley, who was naval officer and in the Army, and he worked for the Naval Gun Factory till 69, and my grandmother was Thelma M. Bradley, who worked for Harry Diamond Labs until 70. The family members who are extensive are all these people here, including Juanita Henderson. Basically, all my family that are here can tell you a little bit more about me as mm-hmm. opposed to me. Mm-hmm. I only know enough of me, like I said, through school and through family members. But from what everybody told me as a child, my grandfather started, I don't know exactly, but he started the Virginia Stars baseball team back in the, I would say, 30s or 40s. My uncle Bay was a plumber and still is one of the first black plumbers in Falls Church. My Aunt Exie, Uncle Vonnell, Aunt Murray, Aunt Bibby, the rest of them, they did a whole lot of extensive work outside the family, and I'm glad to be a part of their family.
Thank you. I'm Georgia Phillips. I'm the second out of four children. My parents, the Reverend Sherman W. Phillips and Aura Lee Essex Phillips. My father was born in Falls Church and born and reared in Falls Church. My mother was born in Calverton, Virginia, and that was her home until she got married. It's a little odd. All of these people are from this side of Falls Church. I was from the west side of Falls Church, but I always knew the Hendersons and the Deskins. The others I knew basically when I started the sixth grade at James Lee. Originally,
let me ask you a quick question. Is there a difference between one side of Falls Church and the other side of Falls Church?
Yes.
And what's the difference?
People used to look at this as an all-black community and that part as an integrated community. And some of the people, thanks goodness none of the people here, some of the people would not deal with us if you were from West Falls Church, Virginia. I went to started out in elementary school in Murfield, Virginia, which is a part of Falls Church, one-room school. My father pastored the Macedonian Baptist Church in Arlington, Virginia, until he passed away in 1968. So therefore, I was a member, but I did come to Second Baptist Church because all of my dad's family belonged to Second Baptist Church. My father started driving the school bus during that time. You know, ministers got paid by peas, corn, and potatoes, not money. So he had to plow gardens, drive school buses, preach seven nights a week. My mother, she was a housewife, and then she, as we got of age, she started cleaning homes, serving dinner parties, and she became the first female school bus driver for Fairfax County. She used to be, when my daddy was doing the pound the gardens and all of that, she would drive the bus and take the students to Manassas, where I started out to high school.
And did she get that job because your father had driven the school bus? How did she manage to get that job driving the school bus?
It was through both of them asked the superintendent about that, because it was no female bus drivers then. And would you believe it was no problem? So while my daddy was plowing gardens and cutting hay and all of this, my mother would be driving the school bus. A lot of people liked it because she was a little faster than my father. My father would be going up the hill rocking. Mm-hmm. That's when everything was stick shift. Later on, my mother went to, after driving the school bus, still driving the school bus until she retired from the school bus system in 65, at the age of 65. She went to cosmetology school in Arlington, and she drove the school bus. She taught cosmetology, and she had a beauty shop in the basement of our home. I came up when there was no paved roads, especially on where I lived. I have a nice scar on my knee that will last me forever about that. Then when Mother started driving for Chesterbrook, when she became a full-time bus driver, and driving that's when I started James Lee in the sixth grade. So that's where I met up with Mary and a bunch of us. And as I say, we would get buses to Manassas Regional High School every year, which of course carries a lot of history because of the slave Jenny Dean. And we were the first graduating class from the Luther P. Jackson School here. I can't think of anything else. Oh, yeah.
And what year was that, the first graduating class?
1955. We all own Chevrolets. It's called Feet. Chev one and lay the other.
That's right.
And our biggest sports, you know,
I came along when there was no TV, and then when elementary school woman did get a TV, it didn't come on until in the evening, and the first thing that came on was Howdy Doody Time. Mm-hmm. But it was so interesting to see people who used to look at the TV, just stare at it. It wouldn't be, you know, the TV be on, but it was no stations, and they just stare like, I can't believe it.
We're going to stop the okay. The tape. We need to change the tape.
Yeah,
I need to run the bathroom.
Me too.
Time to take a break.
Okay, take a break.
Don't move your chairs. You can move.
Don't move your chairs, but take a break.
Well, Jim, you go on outside because nobody in there.
On them truck, on Joe Parker's in them car, he would start that Model A. Cluck, set right at the edge of the driveway. Joe Parker and Frank Denny come down there with them two cars right behind him and go right on down that street. The police would say, oh, we got him. It's dead end here. Joe Parker had a road right off to Westcott Nursery. Go up behind Uncle Bunk's house, road, bring him out on Aldova. Police be sitting there, oh, they're in there. We got them now. They're dead end. Shit. Joe Parker and Frank Denny gone up Cedar Lane.
And why don't we go ahead and pick back up while we are all ready. I think we were talking to Phyllis, and we'll let you finish up where you stopped.
One thing I forgot, and I think it's very important, is I said I was born at home, is Dr. Bruner. He delivered me. Dr. Bruner did a lot for the black people. As a matter of fact, in Arlington, they are recognizing him and doing a development and all in honor of him. The second thing that most of us don't want to hear, and I'm glad that's over, but I did feel it when I was a child, is blacks were very segregated with themselves. If you were, what we say, if you're white, you're all right. Mm-hmm. If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're black, get back.
If you're brown,
I can recall where I happen to be the brownest one in my family, where they could go through the front door and I would have to go around to the back door. They would have little things given out, it's candy or something, but because I was black, and I've had a lot of people say, get back blacky, I got nothing. So I'm glad to say, so when we talk about integration, I think we have to take a lot of it on ourselves as being black people. I also know how it felt of being what they call a PK, a preacher's kid. And I know several times my daddy had to say to people, look, I'm the pastor, I'm the preacher. They are children. They have a normal life like any other children. And I'll never forget that. That's about all I can remember except for canning, cooking, working in the garden, picking out things like that. I remember baseball. When you couldn't afford a baseball, you picked up the cow feces and made a ball.
Who are you playing football?
No way.
All right, honey, go ahead.
That's what they call the good old days. So I'll pass it over to Gene.
Go ahead, honey.
My name is Gene Hudson. My mother's name was Viola Pearson. She was born at Glen Collins, Virginia, and my grandfather moved up here in Falls Church up on Libby Street and had a little small farm-like, had horses and things, pigs. I look at that place now, I wonder where everything was, because it looked so small. My father, he was from St. Louis, born in St. Louis. He came to Washington during the First World War, because my grandfather went in the First World War. He come back to St. Louis, no jobs. And he had a cousin in Washington. He come here looking for a job, so he brought my grandmother. My grandmother, on my father's side, she was from Iowa. Her father and mother were from Canton, Mississippi. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, my father, he was from Nashville, Tennessee. And he migrated to St. Louis. There were three boys born to that family. And two of them died at a young age. Left my grandfather. He had two boys, my father and my uncle. My mother had 7 sisters and 1 brother. Youngest was a brother. 2 sisters died at early age before I had a chance to see them. They were 7, 8 years old. My father, he worked, started off, he helped clean houses in Washington. Then he got a job at Wakefield Hall as an elevator operator. And we lived in Washington. In my early years, I was born there at Freeman Hospital, like everybody, just about all black people were born that time at Freeman. We moved to Falls Church. We lived on what we called on the hill, in a house that had no electricity in it. We all had outside toilets. Mm-hmm. And on cold mornings, like it was the other day, you didn't stay too long in it. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, it's so hot, you couldn't stay in it. But we had lantern. I remember when we were small up on the hill, we'd crawl from, sit down them. The house, we had no electricity, so we had a lamp. Being so poor, we only had 2 lamps. Mm-hmm. One in the kitchen and one in the dining room. We had to go to bed. One of us had to take the lamp with us up there and get into bed, and then run back and get put back in the room for the other older kids to sit there in there. Then Mr. Tenner got a house there. We had to tear down a house up in Falls Church.
Which
Mr. Mr. Melvin Tenner. And Mr. Melvin had a brother named Mr. Wentz. Mr. Wentz was a carpenter with a hammer and a hatchet. He never had a saw.
No.
Oh, rude. So he built a house where my sister lived now, and my mother went and asked him could she rent it from him. And he told her yes, he would rent it to her when he finished. We moved to that house. We had electricity, but we had wood stove, the heat, and a kerosene stove to cook on. And like I said the other morning, I told my son, I said, as cold as it was, we had to get in the house. There was no heat. The only thing you had was a shelter over you. Mm-hmm. It's just like walking outside.
That's right.
Then we got gas. And by that time, I was in school, and we talked about Fall Church Color School. It was right up the street. It was a 2-room school. 1 teacher from elementary to the 4th grade, the 3rd grade. 4th grade, you went to Miss Nellie's room, and that from there to 7th grade. And Miss Nellie taught my mother. I think all of us had Miss Nellie.
That's right.
And Miss Lola. Yeah, Miss Lola elementary. And Miss Lola was good, but Miss Nellie, I give Miss Nellie credit. Miss Nellie Henderson. Credit. Because when you come out of her class, you knew something.
Amen.
When I went to Francis Junior High, and I used my sister's godmother's address to go to school in Washington, people had to pay that tax. The teacher, English teacher, she, after about the 2nd month there, she said, "Hutton, what school did you go to?" I said, "I went to school." She said, "You didn't go to school here in Washington." I said, "How you know that?" She said, "Because you had a good teacher. You didn't have a Washington, D.C. teacher. You had a Virginia teacher." That's how much different Miss Nellie had us prepared to go to school.
She sure did.
Into other areas. She made sure you had something. Well, I finished Francis. I went to Armstrong High, and I got, being a teenager, got reckless, started cutting school and doing a whole lot of crazy things. So I said, well, I come up to Manassas. I went to Manassas for a year. And I got tired of riding that bus up there, so I went back to Armstrong. And in 1950, I decided I had enough education. I went in the military. And I stayed in the military for 26 and a half years. And that guy there, Donald, in our youth, all the things he told you is true. Him and I were peeping a lot of doors and a lot of windows.
Yes, yes.
And did a lot of crazy things. That if we had got caught, we probably wouldn't be here today talking to you.
No, sir.
And I know everyone here grew up with them, and Falls Church had been, it was racial things at that time, but we got along good with white people in Falls Church. I've been in other areas in part of Virginia, and in the military, going to the South, that's when I really saw the segregation. I got stationed in Mississippi, and Louisiana, and Texas. But we got along good with the white boys here. We had a lot of fights. I used to go to a guy named Ralph Tate over on the highway there. Mother and father had a little dog farm, kennel. We'd go over and play, and we'd have a good time. They'd come to our house and play. And one day I went over and Miss Tate said, "Gene, can I have a talk with you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Come on in the house." We went in the kitchen, sat down. She said, "Is your mother and father rich?" I said, "No, they ain't rich. Why you think you're rich, Miss Tate?" She said, "My boy is coming to me, you have a white maid." I said, "A white maid?" I said, "You don't have no white maid." I said, "That's my great grandmother." She said, "She's white." I said, "Yeah, she's white. She want to be."
Yes, she is.
So, in our family household, we never had no racial problem because I had from the blackest on one side to the whitest on the other. So, no one ever said, "You can't do this. You can't go with this because you're white," or "You can't do this with the black." We didn't have it. I don't remember a call. Recall anybody in our family say anything about that. We grew up and treat everybody like a human being. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we got along in Falls Church. My grandfather, he did a lot of work in Falls Church, dug graves, plowed garden, cut fields. He worked for the school in Falls Church, cut the grass, took the janitor, worked in the post office. Mm-hmm. You name it, he did it.
Yeah.
And so it was, and like I said, Miss Nelly, I give her credit. She helped everybody in this room. She made sure you had an education. That was her main object, was you little black children get an education, because you're going to be rough on the outside. You got to be.
Oh. My name is Jesse Deskins. Mm-hmm. When I was coming up, we had so many, it was nine of us children. I had six sisters and two brothers, and we only had two bedrooms, and they took the living room and made a bedroom, and my mother and father had a bedroom, and they had a dresser of drawers, and they tell me, of course, they didn't have bassinets then. The bottom drawer was where they kept the baby. And my mother had, I think it was 10 children in 15 years. No, none of them was twins. So that drawer kept busy. As soon as one child was able to walk, the other one was put in there. So, and then plus, for some reason, she had other people staying there, like Emma Mitchell and...
Omer.
What's the name?
Omer.
Omer. So it was always 15 people in the house. And, of course, like Gene said, we didn't have no indoor plumbing.
That's right.
Even though my father was a plumber. In fact, he was one of the first black plumbers here in Falls Church. But we had a pump where we didn't have to put the wind the water up from the well. We did have a hand pump that got water, but we had an outside toilet that with all the kids and everything, it filled up real fast, so they have to move them around, you know. They dig another hole 10 feet away and put the outhouse on top of that.
Slide over there.
And at the time they didn't have toilet paper. You had Sears robots or telephone books. That was you used in those outhouses. But it was, you know, everybody was, at least they was full. And we didn't get baths until Saturday night. You got washed up during the week, but on Saturday night you had a bath. And what made it so bad in my family is that I had so many sisters, and they would get the bath first. By the time we got in there, we had scum on the water. That because you had a little round tin tub, and you just kept pouring a little hot water in. You didn't change the water; you just poured it in there until you got your bath. But it was a happy time, and we had, you know, especially on Christmas and stuff like that. But my mother used to get, on Christmas time, everybody had to take castor off. She said that had to clean you out so you wouldn't be mean on Christmas morning. So you, and you get a jar of castor oil and a spoon, and everybody got some. And, you know, as we went to school, as we got old enough to go to school, they did the same thing in school, you know.
Yes.
They didn't have no running water. They just had a bucket up there, and everybody drank out the same dipper. And
you were 2 feet outside.
And then you would had two, they had outside toilets. And one thing that I do remember, when you had to go out to the outhouse, you put one finger up.
That's right.
That means you went out there to urinate.
Yeah.
Put two, then you had to go out there to use the do number two.
Yeah.
And then they had some people there, they put three. That means they went out to take a smoke. Because they had kids in the elementary school, when I went there in the first grade, they were still, they wouldn't pass them, they stayed there. So some of them was old enough to smoke, you know, they could go out and have a break. And from what I understand, a few of them drafted out of the school, elementary school into the service. You know, they was, because the teachers wouldn't pass you until you could learn.
You remember Maurice
Grayson all up in elementary school? They was there when I got there, they was there when I left.
Yes, sir.
They never moved. And that's, they were talking about Miss Henderson, huh? Miss Nellie. Well, she was a lady that said, you know, you'll never get out here and embarrass me.
That's right.
And you have to learn in order to get out of that, because she didn't let you stay there until you die, I guess. But the lady taught school for 50
years.
And I remember one time in the later years after she left this, when they built this school, she was principal for a couple of years. But then she retired and she went home. At the time, she was only about that tall. But you know, as you get older, you started shrinking. And I went there one time and I knocked on the door, and the door opened, and I said, "Miss Nellie," I looked around, and Miss Nellie was down there. She was only, she couldn't have been 2 feet tall then, but she had shrunk that much. But that's the truth, I'm telling you. I looked around and said, "Miss Nellie, there she is." But she was a good teacher. She was a real, the other teacher, the one that, Miss Lola, she didn't, she, Miss Saunders, yeah, Miss Lola Saunders. Well, she didn't teach you nothing, but she, but you,
she passed you along.
She's
Kirk and Boogers.
Miss Lola slapped.
But they used to start us in, I remember starting in school, they didn't have kindergarten, they had kindergarten, but you had to be 6 years old.
Oh, yeah.
To go to kindergarten. And then I remember one thing about the elementary school. Every year they used to have the dentist, used to be a white man, he come down after.
He was black. He's a light skin.
Oh, well, I thought he was white.
Yeah.
But he come down and they set up shop. Up on there, they had a little stage in the room. They set the chair up there. at that time, they didn't have no electricity to, you know, run drills right. or anything like that. You used to do it by
like a pedal. Sewing machine pedal.
Yeah. Yeah. And you used to start off alphabetically, you know, A's and B's and C's. And, of course, you'd be sitting in class and they have this kid up and he's hollering, you know, that man's grinding his teeth out, you know. And sometimes they pull the wrong teeth, you know, the ones on this side, and they're supposed to pull them on the other side. But, and that would happen every year, you know. They'd send this man from the county down to fix the colored kids' teeth, as they call them, you know. But no feeling, that man just, if they're bad, he pull it out. So you saw a lot of kids with no teeth in their mouth when they was in elementary school.
Not only that, they used to come down and give us shots, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know who used to do that?
What's
he's that? The captain in the service, Dr. McDonald.
Oh,
wasn't
here? Yeah, you had to have shots, you had to have chest ball and that other stuff.
Have
your
collar ball. Yeah. Put that in 5-gallon buckets and get a yellow jar down to get your mouth.
Get that in.
So it was a little rough coming up.
Yes.
And when the kids, after they came out of elementary school, of course, being no black high schools in Falls Church or Fairfax County, most of them went to Washington. They gave a false address to get mm-hmm. in schools in Washington. Then other ones went up to Manassas, which was, you know, you got up in the morning, dark to go to school, and sometime in the evenings, you got back at 8 or 9 o'clock in the night because they gave the black kids the worst school bus, no heat. You remember we used to ride up there, and everybody would, get on the bus like you like you're going to out playing snow, you know, you got your coat and everything on.
Yes, sir.
And about 10 miles up, the bus would break down, and you'd be sitting inside the road for a couple hours. So it was kind of hard to get the education. And a lot of kids dropped out of school, you know, they didn't want to ride that bus, you know, every day for 6 hours to go to school. So kids went for a couple of years and then they dropped out. But I was fortunate, and we moved from where we lived. We lived behind the James Lee Center here, and we moved up on Annandale Road. And we was in the city of Falls Church, which had about 3 black families, I guess. And so they said, anywhere you want to go to school, you can go, but you ain't going to our white high school, which was one block away. So most of my sisters and my brother and all, we all went to Washington when I came out of high school in Washington. So, but it was a rough life coming up. The white people would call you anything. They'd call you little niggas. You got on the bus to go to Washington. You had to get on the front and then go in the back, and they had a white line. They had about 3 seats there where you had to sit, and if there was no seats, you stood up, and all the white people stayed up in front of
the
bus. Couldn't
cross the line.
Didn't make any difference. They had 10 vacant seats. You still had to stand up because they wouldn't let you cross that white line to ride the bus into Washington.
Do you remember when Miss Nellie? Mm-hmm. That's one thing she taught us. Don't you speak to me when you get on the bus.
Miss Nellie was.
She used to sit right behind
the
bus.
She was a light skinned lady, you know. And she looked white.
She was white.
So,
she got on that
but
bus.
You rode her on the bus. And you rode on the bus, and you see her sitting up front. You better not speak to her.
Don't speak to her.
Well, may I bring something out here? Our people that could pass, because I had the same thing with my family, the people could pass, you never gave them away. They caught the bus or the train into the district. You never gave them away because they were bringing the money back to the community. So that's one of the things, like you were saying, you never gave their identity
Miss Nellie's brother-in-law, he never sat in the back of no damn bus. He sat right behind the bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Charlie wasn't that light, was his sister?
But he was pretty light now.
Yeah, but he wasn't that light.
He was
they knew who he was. Because Mr. Child, that was one of the nastiest you ever seen. Now, he didn't give a damn about nothing, did he? He lived right across from where them pains were, the white pain.
Yeah, they pain now.
And there's some old man, he must have died of consumption or something. Houdini was a bus driver.
Yeah.
And Kip was a little...
Our biggest thing on Sundays was to go out in the village, which was Falls Church, and of course that was that had one stop like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd count the cars. He would take a Plymouth, and another one would take a Ford, and we'd see how many Fords go down. But you know, you stay out there all day, and you'd get up to 10 because there wasn't no traffic, you know, coming through that. But that was the only, really, like they had in Falls Church. They had one there, and the next one was in Route 7, was in Leesburg, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had a blinking light in Tyson's Corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next one was in Leesburg.
And now, you know, they're getting ready to name one of the schools in the city of Falls Church after Miss Nellie Henderson.
Oh, I think,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mr. Henderson was a big, big time.
Yeah, he was.
He was DC athletic director.
Yeah, I said, but he taught at Dunbar.
And he wrote the Negro in History. Negro in Sport. I got that book.
But he never helped us out here.
No. Well, he didn't want to be black anyway.
No, he was from
Falls Church.
He was black if you get back.
But he was. You know, I don't like to say that because Mr. Henderson, he was good. I saw Mr. Henderson one time when we graduated from elementary school, but he never
bought us no baseball equipment or anything else out here.
He never done nothing.
He was just like Doc Johnson.
When they built James Lee, they had all the trees and stuff on the diamond, you know, the baseball diamond.
Yeah.
We had to get out there. We cleared it off by hand.
X-Mae's father, Mr. Sam Thomas, and X-Mae, and all the kids in the community, we built this playground.
Yeah.
Because there were a number of books. Every evening we would come down here and dig up trees. We made the first diamond down there in the football field, you remember?
Right.
Before the school was built.
That's right.
Before they moved the old school down here.
Yes. We made that.
See, they had the old school up here, and then they moved it down behind here. It was a two-bedroom,
two rooms.
Until they built this one.
Yeah.
So a lot of kids, they kept that one down there, what, 3 or 4 years?
Me and Vivian, they were still working on this one when they put us in here half a year.
Yeah, y'all was in the first graduating class out of here.
We're still in discussion.
And when she graduated from junior high school, sister. And sister's first one taught me how to cut school.
Taught you how to cut school.
No, he would come by the house and he said, "Look, I'm not going to school today, and you're not learning it." He was at
Francis Junior High.
I was at Howard University, and he was telling me I wasn't learning anything, so let's cut school today. Yeah. He would come and we'd go to the theater, Colgan, Washington, go to the theater, do anything.
Well, you brought out a good point. For the theater, or either we had to go to Washington for all social activities, and Georgetown for shopping, and then Georgetown.
That's just like the midwife. The midwife, Ann Beck, see? Ann Beck owned her house out Annandale Road. She had a two-story frame house over behind Westcott Nursery's house. Okay, Ann Beck Turner went too far in Fairfax County when she went and bought this white child. This old woman, white woman, I thought pregnant, she went out and delivered the kid. Fairfax County came down and locked her up. She was 80-some years old. So that's how she lost her property out there behind Westcott Nursery. Because the county took it. They put her in jail, 80-some years old, because I know we used to go out there every day. She was Lawley's great-grandmother and Clinton Turner's grandmother, Ann Beck Turner.
Well, when we used to,
they took our license.
When we was growing up, I remember
you brought a white child in the world.
I used to go up to the drugstore in Falls Church, and I sat at the counter. Hell, I didn't give a damn.
I was gonna say,
didn't yeah, you? And so we'd be cutting up with the white kids, and the guy would say to a doctor,
Doctor Ware,
said, "All right, boy, if you don't behave, I'll tell your grandfather on it, because he, my grandfather,
was well known for everybody knew him." So
we didn't have any problem with the white kids. We played with them and everything. Only difference we knew, we couldn't go to the same school. They couldn't wait to get out of school to come over and play football with us. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And then this guy come down from Pennsylvania, so we were playing ball over one day, and he was a coach at the high school. So Witty, Gene, also, and so we had on football team. And so he come over and he saw us playing. So he didn't know he come down from Pennsylvania. He hadn't been here in about 6 months. He said, "Why don't your boys come on over and play?" So where do you go to school? So some of us went to Washington, some went to Manassas. And he says, "How come y'all go to school?" I said, "Because we can't go to school here." So he said, "Well, I'm going to talk to the principal." He went on the man, principal, I told the man, "No, that shit don't happen down here." You know? So he come back and he was hot. He said, "All this talent here, I could have the state championship every year if the black kids could go." And he, until they got rid, I think they fired him when Joe Trombone and them played ball for him. And we played the high school team. We had a team in the community, but we got together, go over there, and he would have them scrimmage us. And we'd just run all over, you know. And he would say, "Lord, if all this talent, if I had these boys here, we'd have the state championship every year." But we couldn't make it. You couldn't have mixed sports because Mrs. Bunny Gibson had a team called the Gibson Grays. I don't know, you remember that, Joe?
Yeah.
And we had the team of his grandfather and Frank Dan, all of them had a team called the Virginia Star. And we had more white people used to come up here to watch them play than was black. And so Mr. Bunny said, "My team is better than yours." So Joe Parker, because Joe Parker was charged in, said, we got the best team.
We had the best team.
So the biggest game in Falls Church was a mixed game that when Falls Church boys walked from here over behind Miss Carr, where the Gibson Grays had a team, over behind Miss, where Miss Carr used to live. Mm-hmm. What's that street going to there?
Fatback.
Yeah. With that ball diamond over there.
Yeah.
And we went over there. The blacks went over there to play the white team, the Gibson All-Star. And I think we beat them about 6-0. And of course, Joe Parker, he was a bad man. Joe Parker had money around here. So old man Bunny Gibson, he was a man. Plus, he had his big restaurant, Joe.
Said,
"Bring all the money you got." You know, the white people brought the money in there. And these boys kick butt, man. Yeah, they kick butt. And that was the only mixed team that played sports that they didn't, you know. Because he was the mayor of the town, wasn't nobody going to discharge him anyway, you know.
But they told Dr. Ware, the tape boys I used to play with, they threw the papers too, and I helped them. So we went up to the drugstore there one day, and they said, "Let's get a Sunday." I said, "Man, I can't go in there and get no Sunday." Said, "Come on." So we all, Ralph, Roger, myself, get up there on the counter, got 3 Sundays, we're eating. The girl that waited on us, she didn't realize I was black. Till we were finished eating. She come get the empty, she looked, she said, "You eat on this thing, pow!" She threw the banana tray down on the floor. Dr. Wagg, he could look right over there and see everything going on. He come up behind him and asked what happened. And so Roger said, "She broke Gene's plate." He fired on the spot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He never bothered me.
Like I said, we had a racial problem, but it wasn't as predominant in other places.
Yeah.
Because I kind of controlled a little bit. I'm not bragging on it, but I used to beat up all the white boys I could meet.
We didn't.
They used to come here from school. We used to come through here from school, man. And we'd stop them down there by Mr. Winston. We'd take the money from them and everything. So, and then the ones we didn't like, we'd beat up. So they had to come through here every day to go to school. So they got wise, man. So the people started giving them horses. So they were riding ponies. They said they'd get down the middle of the road and see us niggas up there. They'd whip them horses. You remember they used to ride them horses, man? We wouldn't bother them no more, man.
Sister Juanita, are you going to say something?
I have some historical...
You introducing yourself.
Oh, okay. Oh.
No, I have
she
some...
Start introducing
you,
yourself.
You say you can start by introducing yourself.
I'm Juanita Smith, and I have some historical documents and papers and things that they're probably going to be interested in, so I'm going to do another interview.
Oh, okay. Oh, good, good.
Yes.
But you know, in this neighborhood, you know, you see streets now and everything, but we grew up, it was dirt roads. We had no street lights. We had no mail delivery. We had to go to the Falls Church post office, ask for junk delivery, and if you had enough money to get you a box, you could rent a box.
Yeah.
But when the snow come like this, well, our road, you had to find the right rut to get in the street. If you didn't, you get turned around.
Yes.
we were poor, but we didn't know it. No.
That's right.
Why don't each one of you tell me what was the best thing about living in Falls Church, and then we'll go to the worst thing about living in Falls Church. And then I want to know a little bit more about if you know how the relationship with the Tenors from back then or from present day or with the Hendersons. Tell me anything that you know about what your parents told you about them, what your grandparents may have said. So let's go with the best part about living in the Falls Church area, then the worst, and then we'll talk about the Hendersons and the Tenors.
Like Gene was saying, we didn't know prejudice as predominantly as we know it now.
That's right.
But we were just poor and didn't know it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Poor and proud.
Yes, yeah, sir. Poor and proud.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we did have in Falls Church, we had the best looking...
I'm sorry. We got to change the battery pack.
Had the best looking girls in the
world. Oh, yeah. Yes, boys, when we let them. This place to see the girls when we let them.
Go back to work.
Yeah,
go back to work.
Yeah, go to work. When we let them.
I know.
Well, we had.
Wait a minute, hold on. She's not through yet.
No, I know. I'm standing.
Oh, okay.
We had a lot of good things.
Baby has to go back to work.
She got to do the.
Yeah, I know. No.
Baby got to leave.
Huh?
Thank you, babe.
Okay,
baby. Okay, babe.
Okay,
what?
It's
like
1 o'clock. I'm going to lunch.
Okay, I'm fine.
Do you want a personal interview?
I can wait for the day for me.
He got enough.
She didn't have any lunch.
I had no lunch.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Are you giving lunch?
We're not recording yet.
Are you giving lunch?
Exit just teasing me.
Oh,
thank you. I'm serious.
She thinks she comes from urbanized. This urbanized girl, but this is not a
little bit. Who's your name, man?
Matty Carrell.
That horn down there, honestly.
Yeah, this is that place.
Who is that? And Cousin Bird on?
Maybe I start coming down here.
I don't know. I don't know.
I see that horn name, honestly.
Oh, I don't know. I think
that's
to have the children to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Related to tell the truth all the time.
I would have just said that because the honest is used to live across from me.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Yeah,
we know
about
that.
No.
That was
Gene. Yeah.
Buster
Brothers.
Pete.
Well, see, Pete, now let me show you something else that you don't know in years, and all you have to do is sit down and talk.
All right, thank you.
Now, I was going down into Williamsburg.
Nice to meet
you. Elijah Kirkland's mother.
Okay, let's go. All right.
And do you know, for years we went as Daisy May Honesty. Right?
Mm-hmm. Some girls getting cold. We got children in here, so we need to turn
do you
it
know
off
that
the
Daisy May
is one.
Not an honesty?
No.
She wasn't honest?
No. Daisy May was a Newman. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She was Miss Elijah Kirkland's mother's brother's daughter.
Yeah.
Pete Wayne took Myrrh from him.
from Ms. Kirkland's brother, and they had that chop. And then that's when they raised her. Pete raised her. Okay. So she didn't come to find this out until it was something about her Social Security.
Yeah.
That she had to come and get in touch with Mrs. Kirkland to ask her who she really was. She was mm-hmm. honest. Pete raised her.
You got it, babe?
Days coming. All those years. And Ms. Kirkland told me that going down into Greenberg. She was blind then.
Ms. Kirkland?
Oh, Ms. Blair Kirkland, blind. She is.
No, her purse is there. No, her purse is there.
Oh.
We're going to start back up. We'll go back to
you. Oh, okay. We're going
to cut it off. Somebody said they were going to try to leave at 1 o'clock, so we have about 24 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll try to schedule your individual interviews for people who are interested in doing individual interviews.
The best thing about being in Falls Church is that we were poor and didn't know it, and that we just came together as one big family.
The cohesiveness.
Yes. Yeah. One that we got a chance to take. I remember all of us business, like, stuff all pops out at one time. Mm-hmm.
I see you guys on Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, one thing I can say about all the tunnels were, all of them had a trade.
Yeah,
exactly. There's another family had all had a trade.
Oh.
The Jones.
Oh, yeah.
The Jones, all of them.
Even one of the Jones.
See, during that time, when they come along,
it had to be the trade.
Well, see, when Tillman used to have boo-boo, he never had a plumb bar. He just had Boo Boo stand down there, and then he eyed. Hold it right there, George.
That came from
the ones that came before Manassas.
Mr. told me that her father made sure one of his sons.
We're recording.
The one thing that we all came together as one big happy family, and we didn't know that we were poor and didn't know it. And like Jean said, we were predominantly togetherness.
Well, we grew up more like sisters than brothers.
Yeah.
And then I remember coming up, the first TV that Black owned was Jesse Deskins. Jesse Deskins.
The first one you saw.
I don't know. I mean, the one that I knew, Jesse Deskins had it with a great big
magnifying
glass on the front, and used to set it in the bedroom window, and we used to sit all around the fish pond, look at the fights. And that's the first TV I knew that was up on the hill.
I think what I like most about Falls Church is the fact of the cohesiveness. During that time, matter of fact, up until 1960, I went into public health 63, we had a census of like 179 blacks just for Falls Church. So we were like one, like you say, black, white, and all this. We were like one big family. Mm-hmm. Because here again, our parents here might be cleaning their house, and they gave you food to take home. Like with my mother, when she served dinner parties and all, any food that was left over, they sent with her. The children who had clothes, it was passed down to us and all of that. So I think there was always that cohesiveness.
It was. You know, just like I say, this girl's mother, Vivian's mother, and Avon Lee was the two top black. Avon worked for Horace Brown and could ring up the cash register and wait on customers. Her mother worked for old lady Dobson, and when the store got busy, her mother was in there ringing that cash register up and sending people out. And then only two black I knew
in this area that was, or she worked for Pauline Gerber.
And we have to remember, too, Falls Church area really started growing when Luther Jackson opened up, and give it credit, James Lee Apartments, because we didn't have places where blacks could live.
Well, true, and then, just like I say, now when you went out to Falls Church, to the village, I remember when it was the Parkway Motors, and you turned right there where Carver Thomas lived, was Parkway Motors back in there. Up on the front was a Texaco service station, which Jimmy Anderson run, with a couple moving van trucks there. Around the corner was Kent Cleaners.
First Cleaners,
Piggly Wiggly, and Robinson's Five and Dime.
Now, where is Safeway and all that?
Safeway was there too, after Piggly Wiggly.
I'm talking about
Safeway.
Sanitaire was there, and then when the Sanitaire moved out of there, it went right down there where that bank is now, across from OC Pierce. Okay. Then the post office moved from across the street over into the Safeway, where the sanitary was.
Yeah.
Okay? Then over there went Serval Cleaners.
What?
Across the street.
It was the bakery.
The bakery was there, the bakery, the drugstore.
Robinson
built his Five and Dime over there.
Old man, the liquor store.
Yeah. Then you went on around the corner. Then you went around the corner, that was Falls Church Market, which was John Taylor. Mm-hmm. Then you had Bernie Mitchell's Barbershop.
Yeah.
Then the State Theater.
The bank that used to
be on the corner.
Yeah.
Old Falls.
See, because Old Horse Brown was president.
Yeah.
Then Old Carl Shreve was the vice president of the bank.
Yeah.
Carl Shreve was the one that stole all the money from there when he was trying to date the Elroy Chalk's daughter, who owned the restaurant where he used to work at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, and then there's the house is still standing.
What house?
Crossman, where Mama used to work, my grandmother.
Yeah.
Right down there by that bank at Lee Highway and Glassman Street, that house is still sitting there. Crossman owned all that stuff down through that.
One of the things I remember about Falls Church is when I went to service and the color TV come out, I used to tell people, I watch color TV, I have color fights all the time. Mm-hmm. He said, "What you mean?" I said, "Right across the street from me, and next door, it was Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night fight, and all was colored."
Yeah. That's right.
My mother, I used to tease her, she was Gunsmoke, Dr. Welby. Anyway, she was a nurse, doctor, police.
And the judge.
And the judge. You got to settle the fight.
Yeah.
People get cut up. She come, knock on the door. She said, "Gene, get my first aid kit." What I made, I took an old fishing box, and I made her a first aid kit.
When Coke. And
Coke
Bowman.
You remember, Gawn Hicks used to have us in Boy Scouts? Remember when he told the tale about Miss Sam? Over at Washington Circle, he was riding with Miss Sam Thomas. And the old man Sam Thomas going round and round the Washington Circle, couldn't get out of it.
Yes,
and say, Gawn Hicks said to him, said, "Brother Sam, says, why you keep going around the circle? Leaning with the curve. Leaning with the curve." Yeah, got in the circle, couldn't get out. That Gawn Hicks boy.
So many people that have gone on before.
You got that right.
Yes, sir. Because I remember this street used to be black all the way down.
That's
Put those boxes over there.
Right. Well, see where those apartments is up above that. That was a whole lot of field.
Right.
And then you came right here to James Lee Street. It was old man Bob Dennett.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then when you went down James Lee Street, I don't know who Joe bought that land from. Joe moved Uncle Jack's house from down there where CBS is.
Yeah.
Took it for a bootlegging bill.
Mm-hmm.
Old man Grove up at Gallus Road in Dunloy.
Yeah.
moved Uncle Jack's house from right down there where CBS is. Moved it down there. Like so right what Joe there. Did...
It was very
oh, yeah, well, Joe Neal.
And Ruth
Corn. Well, see, the house that Ruth Corn... The house that Ruth Corn them lived in was Arthur Reed. No.
Yeah.
And see, and that's where my father fell down the steps and broke his neck.
Yeah.
In that house. Yeah. Uncle Jack lived up above him before you got to Jim Ashton and Joe Neal. Across the street where Bentley's restaurant is was Buddy Polk.
Right.
Yeah, up the pass out where the Governor Motel is was Grandpa.
Right. Yeah.
Up behind Buddy Polk was Miss Effie Saunders. And from Miss Effie Saunders' land, Mr. Sam Thomas owned all the way out to the road. And he had two houses down beside his.
Four houses.
See, and then down there where Bill Page is, that also was Mr. Danny Thomas.
Well,
Mr. Tom Jones, that was Ex-Mate's godfather.
He
lived down there, but not where the Shell station. He had a house before the Shell station.
Well, yeah. No, the house was right there where
the Shell station. Okay, that was Thornton Jones.
Yeah.
But he down in Fort Hamlin, when you think about 50 wasn't as wide as then.
No. See, and then you had right there where the IHOP is. See, that was the frozen custard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, down below that was where the car wash is, was Antil.
Yeah.
See, you remember when Antil and Mr. George Denny?
Mm-hmm.
See, all them worked for Westcott Nursery.
Yeah.
See, Arthur Reed worked for Westcott Nursery. And he went in business for himself as landscaping. Up here at the Seven Corners, you had Arthur Reed, Mr. Foote, and Miss Jenny Jackson. They three houses right there where that shopping center is.
Right.
And all over there, the Buffalo Ridge, they were black too. So we used to go from there to Peace Valley Lane, down 7, turn back in there, and go back in there. That was the Dennis, and then Loretta Evans, and then old Caswell. See, because Miss Maggie Lowe,
uh-huh,
had the house up. You remember when Myra Steptoe and her husband? Okay, when old man Steptoe left Myra Steptoe, and Myra Steptoe and her nephew lived there, John. Okay, I never knew where John Steptoe had gone.
Bills.
But John Steptoe went to Peace Valley Lane, lived with Caswell's sister until he died.
Oh.
And she's still living, Myra Steptoe. She lives down on Oxford Street in Arlington now.
So now when you start thinking back, like you were saying earlier about all the apartments which are condos now, I remember most of that because I came up, grew up right over in that little spot. Well, from all of that, just like my uncle said, it was all woods and maybe six houses tops. It was Robert Lee's, mm-hmm, Uncle Joe's, the Denny's, mm-hmm, the Lee's, the Bradley's, which was my grandfather and my great-grandmother's house, which was what my uncle called Bounce Hill.
Yeah, but it was another house in there.
Right.
Where Fred had built that big house.
Right.
That was Bessie May Chew. As fine a legs as she had, I know I wasn't going to miss that.
Right. Oh.
Bessie May Chew was a good-looking woman with big, pretty legs. And that was... That was when it was the stone quarry, old Flint stone.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Runyon dumped trash in there.
Right.
Had an Odd Fellow Hall sitting on.
Right, right there.
That's that old quarry. See? But and I know that, see?
But it's so odd when we all start thinking about it. Today, 40 years ago, all of that from where I'm sitting and where you can see was all woods and houses. From my aunt's neighborhood, which was the bottom, this one, Aunt Bibby, that was the bottom. That was the spot to hit before you even hit Tenor Hill when I was coming up.
Yeah.
The bottom was, as we call, that was the joint.
That was, see, son, when it was Henry Henderson, It used to pick up the white folks' trash.
Right.
Up in Hillwood.
You could get that on a Friday and Saturday.
And long as the white folks knew he was bringing it over here in the black subdivision, dumping it right down behind his house. And still, just like I say, all those townhouses down Poplar Street, now listen to me, they should have had some of the best grass.
Fertilized in the world.
Because that's where Henry Henderson used to clean out outhouses. Yes, we used to call it the honey wagon.
That's right. Yes.
And load them 50-gallon drums on his horse buggy wagon and take it right down there where those townhouses on Poplar Street and dump it over the hill. So I done swim in it because I know that stuff run over in the creek.
Right.
And we used to dam up the creek at Uncle Buck's. And we made that a swimming pool.
And it's it, well,
and I remember when Jimmy Jackson used to go down there and bust the ice on the pond and swim in the wintertime.
Yeah, we... That was our recreation period.
Damn it up and swim.
We go down there and sleigh ride.
Sleigh ride off that hill.
Yes, sir. Well, folks, it's nice of you all to be company for y'all, but I must leave.
I'm too. I love the apartment right there. That was number big field.
Yeah.
See, the only house you run into that was Maggie Lowe.